You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The push to add the words gender identity and sexual orientation to the Idaho Human Rights Act has been going on now for more than a decade. Efforts to add the words have been blocked over the years because of our state's Republican-controlled legislature, which was concerned that the change could infringe on religious freedoms. And even attempts to find a compromise between lawmakers and activists hasn't really gained momentum. But late last week, legislation was once again introduced to protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people from employment and housing discrimination here in the Gem State. Democratic Senator Marianne Jordan introduced that bill, and she's joining me in studio to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
This has been going on for 12 years here in our state. Give me a little bit more of the background on this, Senator Jordan.
Sure. You know, and I think the first thing that's important to note is that while the issue has been on the table for 12 years, in Idaho political circles, this is a lifetime for a lot of Idahoans. This is people having had to grow up not being true to who they are. People who, small things, we come into work every Monday morning. What's the first thing you say to your coworkers? How was your weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who can't even talk about how their weekend was because they're afraid they might lose their job if someone finds out about their sexual orientation. And so we have to be careful about the time frame that we impose on this effort. But for 12 years, this has been ongoing. There have been requests made. There have been several personal bills filed. And I can explain at some point the wonky difference between a printed bill and a personal bill. But and there was even a hearing 4 years ago in the legislature. The House State Affairs Committee held a multi-day hearing for over the course of 4 days. Hundreds of people coming in to testify and stories that were just so compelling. And one of the things that I was struck by during that hearing was how many of those folks came to testify without any protection. So they put themselves front and center in the belief that this was important, knowing that they could have returned to work the next day and been fired.
What's interesting to me is that I believe it was 4 to 5 years ago when this made national headlines because of the activism that was going on around this. But in the last 2 years, it's gone a bit silent. It has, you know, there were no bills introduced. And was a lot of that based on the fact that there would try to be a compromise that would come up so that some type of legislation would come out of this?
There, I believe that was the effort. There was a small working group that was working very quietly in the background, trying to craft some type of what they consider to be a compromise that would address the fear of potential religious discrimination that might come from adding the words to the Idaho Human Rights Act. But we're 2 years into that effort. We've not had another conversation about this issue. And to let a third year go by without noting the importance of the continued absence of these protections for the LGBTQ community, I felt like it was important to make those voices heard.
So you bring the legislation last week, and was that the big push, is that nothing, we hadn't seen anything in a couple of years?
You know, that's a part of it. The other part of it is this is a very important issue to me. I've run on this issue. I have dealt with this issue for many, many years when I was with the city of Boise. And I feel like I understand the whole of this issue. You know, one of the things that's really critical, too, that we tend to miss in the conversation is there's a huge economic development piece to this issue in addition to so many other parts of it.
I want you to talk about that because I think a lot of times when there are debates surrounding whether or not we should add the words, so much of it seems to get caught up in people's own personal religious beliefs. But let's talk about the economics of what this means if this was added.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk every year in the legislature, we continually are discussing the high-paying jobs that are going unfilled in the state of Idaho. And a piece of that is education and the need to kind of bring the Idaho education system up to date with today's technological economy. But another piece of that is that companies have trouble recruiting to Idaho because of the lack of protection for their employees. USA Today did a wonderful article about this a couple of years ago. I apologize, U.S. News and World Report, not USA Today. And they spoke with business leaders across the country, companies like Bank of America, Microsoft, Pinterest, Airbnb, all these companies that say that discrimination in communities mm-hmm. hurts their employee recruitment, that their young, talented, technologically able employees want to be able to live in places where they are not fearful.
And you know what's interesting about that? I do remember reading that article. They weren't even necessarily saying that it is because someone may fit within that category of adding the words. They may be straight. They still want those protections for others.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the space where I come from mm-hmm. as a straight person. I mean, there are things that I am never going to fully understand about someone having to live without these protections. But what I do understand and what I have learned and continue to learn is the economic impact, the emotional impact. I've got kids, I've got grandkids, I've got nieces and nephews, and I look at them and I think, you know, what kind of environment do I want them to be in? These are just really young, talented, amazing people, because of course everyone's grandkids are brilliant and amazing.
Of course.
And, you know, I want them to live an authentic and protected life.
I'm speaking with Democratic Senator Marianne Jordan about her legislation that she introduced last week regarding adding the words to the Idaho Human Rights Act. Senator Jordan, we've got, 14 municipalities in Idaho. They've already added the words, Boise being one of them, Pocatello mm-hmm. in East Idaho being one of them. Right. So we've got some protection within these municipalities. Why should we then put it into the Idaho Human Rights Act?
Well, it's not consistent across the state. And not everyone in the state of Idaho lives in a city. Whether or not the city has the protections, there are a lot of Idahoans that live outside city limits. And why would we be setting up a structure that treats some Idahoans one way and some another way? It just makes sense that statewide, this is where these protections belong. They are included for everyone else in Idaho in the Idaho Human Rights Act. I want to kind of point you to one more mm-hmm. study that is really actually kind of some fascinating reading. It was done by the Williams Institute at UCLA Law School a few years back. And they did a study on this very issue in the state of Idaho. One of the things they noted in analyzing the Idaho Human Rights Commission and their receipt and processing of complaints mm-hmm. is that the estimate is that this could result in potentially 11 or so more complaints in the course of a year. And I have checked in with the Human Rights Commission, and both the study and the commission believe that any additional complaints that came along would be able to be processed within the existing infrastructure. There would not be additional funds required to do that. These kind of laws and tend to be road marks for communities mm. or for states, right? I mean, we establish speed limits. Who doesn't want to drive a little faster when you're going down Chinden
right,
35
right.
miles an hour, right? But the speed limit is 35, and it's 35 for a reason, and we know that. So we try to keep it as close to 35 as we can, and knowing that that's what the parameters are. And why would we not set parameters mm. in Idaho that say we support everyone being treated the same?
And more than half of the states have already added words like this within their own human rights acts. So what do you think the likelihood is that this will be done this year, that this will finally pass in Idaho?
Well, you know, I'm always hopeful.
Right.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever got when I contemplated coming to the State House was not to give up on things, because you never know when something might tip over.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, after so many years of feeling like you're not getting anywhere, that people might just come to that place where it changes. And so I carry that hope all the time. Now, whether or not it happens this year, I don't know. It is my hope that we are able to have a hearing. We have a lot of new legislators. We have advanced 5 years since Boise implemented its policy. Several other cities have along the way. There are conversations going on in churches and religious organizations about this very issue, mainly driven by parents who now understand that when they see their kids, it isn't as simple as a dictate that comes to them from their church. It's about their child. And those are the kind of things that we need to keep talking about in order to move this forward.
And, you know, you were on the program about a week ago and talking about the federal government shutdown. But I want to bring it back to a comment that you made then when you said, you know, we deal in compromise every day. And even something like this, even though we have people that have different viewpoints within the legislature, does it once again come down to living in that space of compromise to get something like this move forward?
You know, we do deal with compromise every day. And then every once in a great while, there is an issue where compromise means you're not addressing the issue. And that's kind of what I feel like in this arena. We talk about allowance for businesses to deny service to people. You know, my husband and I own and operated a business for years, and it was kind of a niche retail business where we knew a lot of our customers. They were repeat customers. They came in all the time. They were, you know, you get to know people, you talk to people. And I listened to some opinions being shared with me that I found really appalling. And it took a lot of patience to not share my opinion on their opinion with them. But you know what? They were my customers. I had opened my door to the public to do business. And absent a direct threat to myself or my employees, I felt an obligation to see those transactions through. And I think that's what happens when you open a business. You can't decide who you like and who you don't like. You're not going to love all your customers. But I think, too, that supportive businesses find a lot of business through supporting issues like this.
And in your mind, does this come down to just basic human rights?
It does. It does. No Idahoan should face the fear of losing their job or their housing or the humiliation of being asked to, you know, leave a public accommodation simply because of who they are, who they might be dining with. And who are we to make those assumptions? It's just, to me, it is just very much basic human rights.
And last question, where does it go next? So the legislation was introduced. What happens next?
Right. Well, it was introduced as a personal bill, which means it doesn't have to go through a print hearing. It's printed and it has a bill number. It's Senate Bill 1015. And, you know, my effort will be to try to convince committee chairs to see if we can't have a hearing on this bill. I don't know if that will happen or not, but I think where it goes next is that we've taken yet another step this year to make sure that people understand this is in fact still an issue. It's not going to go away, and we need to keep having this conversation until we get where we need to be.
And that is the key, is to continuing to have the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to thank you for coming in today and talking about this. My guest today, Democratic Senator Marianne Jordan, bringing a personal bill, a piece of legislation to add the words to the Idaho Human Rights Act. Thank you so much for coming in and talking.
Thanks, Jim.